Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. FedEx offers fast delivery, more visibility, simple returns, and weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. population on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. With FedEx, you get picture proof of delivery, ensuring you always know where your package is. Returns are simple with packageless and paperless returns. Plus, FedEx Ground is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. So, what are you waiting for? See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
The 2020 Tokyo Olympics ended yesterday, and U.S. athletes brought home 39 gold medals, 41 silvers, 33 bronze, and 4 new variants.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. On today's show, Seth talks to actors Kristen Bell and Dax Shepard. But first, a closer look.
There is damning new evidence of Donald Trump's plan to overthrow democracy. Meanwhile, Republican governors are standing in the way of basic mitigation efforts against the surging COVID Delta variant. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. We promised to stop talking about Donald Trump the day he stops talking. But even now that he's out of office, Trump and his movement always find new ways to shock. For example, the self-labeled America First movement has taken up a new cause, rooting against American national sports teams.
The U.S. women's soccer team is a very good example of what's going on. Earlier this week, they unexpectedly lost to Sweden, 3-0. And Americans were happy about it. You proved that point before I even said it.
Look at the soccer team, the women's soccer team. All of a sudden, they're not like they were. They were supposed to win the gold medal. But you know, the word woke means loser. If you're woke, you're going to lose.
First of all, I love this conceit that Trump follows women's soccer. I can't believe nobody got a foot on that cross when you're down 2-0. That's what happens when you're woke. You don't react to the crosses. You're a former U.S. president rooting against a U.S. national sports team. You, the guy who consistently went to third base with the American flag, a former president rooting against a U.S. national team is like Mr. Met showing up to a game in a Yankees jersey. Although after this weekend, I wouldn't blame him. When he saw Sunday's box score, the Mets-loving, cigarette-smoking cockroach started lamenting his immortality. I can't believe I'm going to live forever and never see this team win at all. You thought just because we were on a two-week hiatus, we wouldn't immediately come busting out of the gate with some callbacks and recurring characters? Well, then, I guess you have a worse memory than the crew of the Enterprise when they got stuck in that time loop. TNG, the new MASH, make it so. The U.S. women's soccer team has been wildly successful, and on top of that, no one on the team ever single-handedly drove a sports league into the ground like Trump did with the USFL. If you don't remember that story, Trump bought a USFL, or United States Football League team, moved the league from the spring to the fall to compete with the NFL, or the National Football League, which you probably remember because they're, you know, still here, sued the NFL for $1.69 billion and was awarded exactly $1 by the jury. And I have to say hats off to that jury because it is very funny to reward someone $1 after they sue for almost $1.7 billion. That's like giving your employees a holiday bonus of a Starbucks gift card with 50 cents on it. Hi, what can I get for 50 cents? You can get out of the way. There's also a chance the jury knew Trump would keep suing unless they gave him something to save face. You get nothing. This isn't the last you'll hear from me. You get a dollar. And once again, Donald Trump is in the winner's circle. Oh, it ripped. Also, I'm not sure the massively successful U.S. women's soccer team, which has won 4 World Cups, including in 2019, should have to listen to lessons on winning from a guy who doesn't even know how to hold a soccer ball, much less kick one. Remember when Putin gave him one as a gift in Helsinki and he held it like he thought it was a precious dinosaur egg? That's the way your 40-year-old single friend holds a baby. Oh, no, 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 no. Okay, take it back, take it back. He's holding that thing like he thinks it's going to bite him. He reminds me of Bloomberg holding Staten Island Chuck on Groundhog Day. Interesting fact, that day Bloomberg saw his shadow and decided to run for president. Same thing happened to de Blasio. So maybe Trump is just mad because the U.S. women's national team is both more successful and more popular than he is. They've smashed viewership and merchandise records. Meanwhile, a new poll from Quinnipiac last week found that 60% of respondents said it would be bad for the country if Trump were to launch a bid for president in 2024, while just 32% of respondents said another Trump campaign would be good for the country. A full 60% don't want him to run again. That means even some of the people who voted for him are like, I don't know if I can put myself through that again. It's like how no one does hot ones twice. I mean, I did it and loved it, but the next time I got interviewed, it was back to the non-spicy stylings of Terry Gross, where I was asked thoughtful questions while not worrying if I was going to my pants mid-answer. I'm sorry, is that your stomach making those noises? It is, Terry, and I think I should probably go. Still, that 32% is always just going to be shocking to me. 4 years of chaos and corruption that ended with all of us being trapped in our houses using cardboard for toilet paper to avoid a deadly plague the president said could be cured by snacking on Tide Pods like cheese balls. And still, 32% of the country says yes, more of that. It's insane. It's the same feeling I get when I'm driving around in the suburbs and I see a honey-baked ham store. People like ham that much? I mean, there are enough people who like slimy, uncut, wet lunch meat to keep a chain, a national chain, of stores in business. I mean, sometimes I park across from the store just to see what kind of maniac is going in on a Friday afternoon and just buying a whole ass ham. And then they send security out and they tell me I'm the maniac for sitting there watching. Like, hey, it's America. I can watch the ham store. But this is why they need to rig elections to win, because they're so unpopular. In a way, I guess it's not surprising that the people rooting against American sports also tried to dismantle American democracy. And now we have more proof than ever that Trump's attempt to subvert last year's election wasn't just a mood swing or temper tantrum. There was a detailed plan with key allies in the White House and Justice Department, including one particular hatchet man who came incredibly close to detonating American democracy.
Just days before the deadly January 6th assault on the Capitol, one of the ex-president's top Department of Justice officials at the time was circulating a draft letter that would have helped Georgia Republicans overturn Biden's victory in that state. Jeffrey Clark, who was the acting head of the Justice Department's Civil Division at the time, wrote emails that essentially would have laid out a roadmap and given permission for Georgia Republicans to subvert the election results.
It says in part, the Department of Justice is investigating various irregularities in the 2020 election for President of the United States. At this time, we have identified significant concerns that may have impacted the outcome of the election in multiple states, including the state of Georgia. While the Department of Justice believes the governor of Georgia should immediately call a special session to consider this important and urgent matter, if he declines to do so, we share with you our view that the Georgia General Assembly has implied authority under the Constitution of the United States to call itself into special session for the limited purpose of considering issues pertaining to the appointment of presidential electors.
How is it that there's always a smoking gun with these guys? There's always an email or a phone call or an accidental televised confession from Rudy Giuliani proving our worst fears. Like, you can be forgiven for thinking a petulant Trump just got mad and decided on a whim to call the election rigged, and then he sent Rudy to hold a press conference at a landscaping company where I'm guessing he also got his hair cut by a hedge trimmer, and then it all just kind of snowballed from there. But no, Rudy, he was just a helpful smokescreen that let us all think, that's too crazy to work. But they had a much more sophisticated plan than that. This guy, Jeffrey Clark, a key Justice Department official, was going to send a letter to Georgia's governor and state legislature, essentially telling them to overturn their state's election results on the basis of non-existent voter fraud. And it wasn't just Georgia. He was going to send it to all the swing states Trump wanted to overturn.
It turns out that this guy, Jeff Clark, was writing or drafting these types of letters to all the six states that ended up going for Joe Biden. And I think that, you know, what we see is the beginning of the effort to overturn the election.
There's always an obscure functionary willing to do the villain's dirty work. Jeffrey Clark's like the guy who opens the monkey cage in the first 5 minutes of a zombie movie. I mean, can you imagine what would have happened if not Trump, but the Trump Justice Department sent out an official statement claiming there was fraud in the election and telling Republican legislatures in six states to overturn the results? Mike Lindell would have exploded into 1,000 pillow feathers. Or I guess since it's a MyPillow, he would have exploded into 1,000 charcoal briquettes. The charcoal gives the pillow its patented rock-like texture and helps you wake up with that fresh hickory smell. Anyway, I'll take two of your biggest hams. You should know there's a guy peeping in his car out front, by the way. This ham is delicious. Usually I get my lunch meats from the Borsed.
So happy to be back.
It's easy to write off Trump and his cronies as a bunch of idiot goofballs, which they were, but they also had a very real plan with key allies at the top levels of the White House, the Justice Department, and state legislatures across the country. They came extremely close to nuking American democracy and plunging us into an unprecedented crisis. The only thing that stopped them was senior DOJ leadership threatening to quit. But just imagine if the next Republican president socks the DOJ with loyalists who follow his orders, or a Republican-controlled Congress refuses to certify a Democratic victory. What then? We can't just hope the next coup attempt falls apart when Rudy Giuliani accidentally shows up at the wrong location. Boss, I'm at the Walmart in Astoria. I said the Waldorf Astoria. Oh, Rudy, you've done it again. We all know all of this was orchestrated by Trump and his chief of staff, Mark Meadows, because we have the DOJ memos to prove it. Trump told the acting attorney general, Jeffrey Rosen, at the time, the guy Clark was trying to replace, that he wanted the DOJ to declare the election rigged so he and Republicans in Congress could overturn it. Trump told DOJ leaders, according to the memos, just say the election was corrupt and leave the rest to me and the Republican congressman. Anytime Trump says, leave the rest to me, you're going to be in trouble. I'm sure that's what he said to the other USFL owners right before he sued the NFL, and he show up a few months later asking, what's a dollar split 18 ways? And yet, even as we learn more about Trump's attempt to overthrow the election and his sinking popularity in polls, he and his supporters are trying to concoct a fantasy world where the chaos, misery, incompetence, and mass suffering of the Trump era was actually popular and good. Trump's big, wet, honey-baked son, Don Jr., said basically the same thing on Fox last week.
Joe Biden's only legacy, Sean, at this point, is going to be showing America how good they actually had it under Donald Trump.
I don't know. I feel like Biden's legacy is going to be as the EMT who showed up to talk you down after you accidentally ate a whole bag of your weird aunt's pot gummy bears. Stay with me, buddy. I know you feel like your heart's bouncing here and there and everywhere, but this is all going to be over soon. And even if you take Trump out of the equation, Republicans are all committed to the project and the performance of Trumpism. They're desperate to mimic him. That's why GOP politicians like Florida Governor Ron DeSantis are all trying to imitate Trump's disastrous handling of the coronavirus pandemic, with DeSantis even going so far as to ban local governments and school boards from imposing their own mask mandates.
Joe Biden has taken to himself to try to single out Florida over COVID. This is a guy who ran for president saying he was going to, quote, shut down the virus. And what has he done? He's imported more virus from around the world by having a wide open southern border. We can either have a free society or we can have a biomedical security state. And I can tell you, Florida, we're a free state. Why don't you get this border secure? And until you do that, I don't want to hear a blip about COVID from you.
Oh, you don't want to hear a blip about a deadly, highly contagious virus from the president of the United States? Let me guess, you'd prefer his thoughts on the wokeness of the U.S. women's soccer team? Also, when you use the word blip, you sound like an angry grandma babysitting her kids. This is knitting time. I don't want to hear another blip about Grand Theft Auto. You can finish Lester's assassination mission after you're done crocheting this blanket. And I'm no scientist, but I do have Google Maps on my phone, and I'm pretty sure the border has nothing to do with the Florida COVID surge, since the border's like 1,000 miles from Florida. You don't get to blame something that far away for your problems. If a kid in Nebraska throws his frisbee in the neighbor's lawn, he can't say it was caught in the strong winds of La Nina. Originally written as El Nino, but then we did some research, found out El Nino, soft winds, and we didn't even hear from you guys in corrections about how I got it wrong. So we got it right. But, you know, I feel bad for the people of Florida. They're not as lucky as we New Yorkers are because our governor is beyond reproach. What's that? Oh, really? A whole report? 168 pages? This is the first I'm hearing about it. Well, I watch CNN. Weeknights, 9 p.m. That's his brother? Back to DeSantis. Biomedical security state makes you sound like an out-of-work screenwriter trying to sell a sci-fi movie to a director at a dinner party. It takes place in the year 3049. The U.S. is a biomedical security state, and the president has to stop an army of space lizards who look like Dr. Fauci from forcing everyone to take a vaccine that turns them into chihuahuas. Why wouldn't the vaccine also turn them into lizards? Because it ends with a Taco Bell dog, who's the resistance leader, looking directly into the camera and saying, "Yo quiero freedom." I'm gonna go. I'm out of ham. We now have yet another smoking gun in the story of the Trump coup attempt. On top of that, Republican governors are actively standing in the way of attempts to mitigate the Delta COVID surge. There's a through line here. The party actually makes things worse, and when people don't like it, they try to subvert democracy to stay in power. Even though polls clearly show that when Trump and the GOP lost, most Americans
were happy about it.
This has been A Closer Look.
When you choose Organic Valley, not only will you be enjoying great-tasting dairy, you'll help to save over 1,600 small organic family farms who are protecting over 400,000 acres of organic farmland and all the plants and animals that call it home. This is dairy you can feel good about. It's great-tasting, high-quality organic dairy ethically sourced from small organic family farms. To find Organic Valley Dairy near you, visit ov.coop. That's ov.coop.
Our guests tonight are, among many other things, the hosts of Family Game Fight, which airs Wednesday nights on NBC. Please welcome back to the show two of my favorites here together for the first time, Kristen Bell and Dax Shepard.
Hello, Seth.
Seth, you look so tan.
Thank you. I have had a two-week hiatus and have been, sadly, my least favorite place with my children, which is outside. I'm a little embarrassed. I saw a shot of your room before you guys came in, and I guessed completely wrong as to who was going to sit in what chair.
There's a very specific reason why. I normally would let Dax would sit here. This is his lazy boy. This is his throne. But his good side is that side, and my good side is this side. So under no circumstance will you ever see us in the reverse if we're together.
If this was flipped, people would scream.
You'd puke.
You'd puke.
Watch this. Turn your head that way. Ready? I can't.
Obviously, we're going to edit that out. That was too horrifying to be on television.
Yeah.
Yeah, this side, zero career. This side, hey, let's do a game show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now, the interesting thing to me is it never occurred to you guys to move the chairs.
Well, it did, Seth, but that's a lot of work. This is a tight area. We have a throw rug in here that's cumbersome and gets wound up in the feet.
Sticky. And this room is really, you're pretty much seeing the whole of the room. It's a little attic room.
There's also some juju to protect because that is the chair I sit in for the podcast, and it's been good for our family. We don't want to tinker with that.
Gotcha. I have much respect for that. I want to talk about the show, which is very family-oriented, but I also want to ask, you guys got a very prime spot, which is you aired after the closing ceremonies of the Olympics. And I'm wondering, were you guys a family that enjoyed the Olympics?
Some more than others.
Yeah, I'm obsessed with the Summer Olympics specifically, and largely because years ago, probably we're going on 15 years of this, I am always on high alert for any kind of genitalia that comes loose during the sprinting or the jumping or the hurdles, and only male genitalia. I find it.
I can confirm all of this.
It's so amusing when that thing just starts doing whatever it wants to do, despite what the athlete's doing. And so I'm on a bit of a text chain with some friends that we kind of gather these photos and we share them if we're ever lucky enough to see something. And it's the luckiest I've ever been in over a decade of doing this, which we were watching, and someone did a triple jump. And then when they landed and then when they stood up, the spin, We got something that's never been gotten in this text thread, which was bottom pole.
Anus.
Wow. And it's so rare. And then on top of it, this seems impossible, but on top of it, when the malfunction happened, the wardrobe malfunction, then the garment became kind of a scoop for the sand. And so when he stood up and that got exposed, there was also very sizable droplets of sand falling out of the bottom. And when I sent the photo, I had to be very clear to people, we're not dealing with a mishap gastrointestinally. This is sand. We didn't get the holy grail.
Some people watch the Olympics for the athlete's performance and their dedication to the sport. Others watch the Olympics for the fails, the wardrobe malfunctions. Well,
just the zhuzh, the
edginess.
The thing you can't plan for in training. You can train at elevation, but still, when you're at full volume sprint, and whatever day it is, humidity, all these things are factors. There's no saying what's going to happen down there.
And I'll just say this. When you have a world event and you put everyone in spandex, what do you expect?
What did everyone expect?
Because there are a lot of other, pictures in this text chain that I've seen where, people, the guys can get pretty excited when they win a gold medal.
And she's euphemizing, of course, some of the contestants become erect during the medal ceremony.
Do they really?
A few times that's happened. That's sincere, Seth.
That's shocking to me and great to know. Have you sort of collected people on this text chain over the years? Do you find more enthusiasts for this kind of Olympic, viewing style?
Well, what happened was I was kind of describing to the folks that listen to the podcast what I just explained to you about this incredible malfunction I witnessed. And then it occurred to me, oh my God, there's an army of over a million folks that potentially are also watching the Olympics. So I just said, if anyone sees anything, like I got that, I'm not even professional. I'm only watching, an hour of Olympics a day and I caught that. So God knows what's out there. So I kind of enlisted all of them and I gave out our email and said, hey, if you find anything, so it's kind of our first political cause or our first cause.
Yeah.
As a group.
Spandex wardrobe malfunctions.
I just like that even when you become, as a male athlete, no matter how, how incredibly fit you become, there's no way to make that part of the body not be floppy.
It's the poorest design, Seth, because there's all this equipment, and then they were like, where should we put it? We said, well, where's the most friction on the body? Right in the thighs. All right, let's put it out in front of that, not like concealed somehow within. No, right out in front, right where the action is. Let's put all this cumbersome business in there.
It's almost like they put it there to tell you not to sprint.
Yes, be careful is what it says to me when I see a nude male. I'm nervous for myself when I look in the mirror. But I want to be clear, too. I've really thought through the ethics of this. And my conclusion is, like, if a woman were to dedicate her entire life to the 400, hurdles, not cool for me to try to watch her bouncing about. That's not cool.
Yeah.
But as a man, I know that if I was running my fastest and winning, and also you were enjoying watching my business flop around, that's just another win for me.
I can confirm. I'm the ethics police in our house, and he doesn't snap any. None of the females are a part of this. It's all males.
Which is not to say I haven't seen some female wardrobe malfunctions.
But
they exist.
We brushed past it. We're not here for that. We're here for the funny part. And there's one funny body part among both males and females and everyone in between. And it's that thing on the front.
It makes me sad that there isn't another season of The Good Place where there could be a whole episode discussing the ethics.
The ethics of snapping a picture of someone's genitalia without their knowledge.
Yeah. When you say it that way, I feel nervous.
I want to talk about your new show. We'll be right back with more from Kristen Bell and Dax Shepard. Welcome back to Late Night. We're here with Kristen Bell and Dax Shepard. So Family Game Fight, it's very fun because you have families competing against each other, but then you guys actually compete as well, which I think makes it a lot more enjoyable to watch because this show, and don't take this the wrong way, seems a little mean.
Thank you so much.
It's the meanest show there is.
We hate this show.
It's a bad, bad show.
It's cruel. It's
rude. Who?
There's malice.
What kind of show? Because that brain freeze game you just saw, it's not just ice being dumped on your head. They hook us up to a tube to the inside of our shirt. So it goes, ice goes right on your skin. That's why, I mean, it's brutal. There's pies to the face. There was a trampoline game when we came in and we're like, wait, we're guessing clues, but we have to be jumping on the trampoline. And our producers were like, yeah.
And we're like, we both get nauseous within two jumps.
What? They go, well, if you puke, you puke.
Yeah.
And we were like, what did we sign up for? But we didn't really look at the games.
See, life's moving fast, Seth. You just kind of wake up on set and you learn you're going to have, in that game we played six times in a row. So 18 buckets of ice on the head. And
it's not cute. It's not nice.
No.
Do you think the families, I'm sorry to interrupt, but do you think the families ever look at you and think, we know why we're doing this, but why are you doing this?
Sure.
I think it's 50-50. Yeah, it's polarizing. There's like half that would say that. Like, you guys really are silly. You're
really flushing your careers down the toilet.
Then we heard a bit of the murmurs of that. and then other people that are like, oh, they're kind of cool because they're not going to win any money. And here they are with us. So, you know, it can go either way.
I also want to ask about this before we go. Kristen, you have an animated show that you are doing called Do-Re-Mi. This is for younger kids. This is maybe the kind of show that my children could watch.
This show could have kept you safely indoors, Seth.
That's true. Thank God. So, yeah, two of my friends and I got together. They had this great idea. As music and art was being slashed from public schools, and still is, and that's been happening for 20 years, how music was so formidable in my life. It brought me here right now. If I hadn't had a love for music, it also proves, you know, expanding their brains in math and social. We were like, how do we get a music education into a kid's life? And Amazon made this great show with us. It's about three little songbirds, Do, Re, and Me. And everything about the show is entertainment, but it's also secretly teaching your kid music theory about different types of music, cultural music, how to make music. And we'll have games that go along with it because the kids love to play it. But if they're on it, they're actually learning how to interact with music, make their own music, cooperation, all these good things for brain development. It's very subversive. And
Dax,
it's, yeah, really, really proud of it.
Dax, will you be a voice on this show?
I will not. I will not do that, Seth.
It's a singing show.
It's to teach people about harmony and notes, all things I can't accomplish.
Gotcha.
But if we car engine noise, we will call you.
Or like the singers want to point at some guy like, he sounds terrible. That could be me.
Well, that's nice of you offering a way to participate. You guys, it is always so lovely to see you. Thank you for being here in person. It was a delight.
Well, it's our pleasure. We owe you at least this much.
Family Game Fight airs on Wednesday at 9 p.m. here on NBC, and Do Re and Me will be on Amazon Prime Video and Amazon Kids Plus on September 17th.
Late Night with Seth Meyers airs weeknights on NBC at 12:35, 11:35 Central. Original music on the Late Night podcast is by the HE Band. Don't forget to follow the handle Late Night Seth on social media and tell your friends to subscribe to the Late Night podcast wherever they get their podcasts.
Murder on My Mind, a new podcast available exclusively on Wondery Plus, explores the circumstances leading up to the murder of two young men and the mistrials of the man accused of killing them. Up-and-coming rapper YNW Melly gained notoriety in the hip-hop world for his shocking lyrics and criminal exploits. When two of his best friends were gunned down in a drive-by shooting, investigators suspected the young rapper staged the scene. But after not one, but two trials that ended in hung juries and new evidence that may place YNW Melly at the scene of the crime, his trial has been paused indefinitely. With countless twists and turns, Law & Crime covers all angles of the case and begs the question, is this young artist the victim of a witch hunt or a silver-tongued devil who's evil to the core? Listen to Murder on My Mind exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.